Welcome to the Astrology Rocks podcast for the week of June 25, 2012, brought to you by Sastrology. I'm Michelle Suzanne, author of your weekly forecast at Sastrology. You'll also find me at starstruckastrology.org. I'm happy to be co-hosting this podcast with my friend and colleague, Jeffrey Kishner, editor and publisher of Sastrology. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Michelle.
And how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Good.
We are recording over a week before the week that we are discussing, which is June 25 through July 1. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Uranus-Pluto square that we were talking about, the exact square last week.
Yes.
And, you know, while we're talking, the... You know, the Egyptian parliament was dissolved by, like, the high court. And this seems like very interesting timing. Like, things are at once coming to a head where the populace is feeling like they were just duped.
Yes.
And, you know, their two choices are, you know, Mubarak's, like, number two, and a very fundamentalist brotherhood person. And it doesn't actually seem like there's any progress towards democracy at all. So I would think that, you know, with this increased tension between these outer planets, that there will be more uprisings. If there haven't been already, given that we're talking much earlier than when this goes live.
Right. So you're suggesting that when the square becomes exact between Uranus and Pluto, we can expect to see greater upheaval in Egypt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. And then again on Friday the 29th, when the sun aggravates them at their midpoint, I suspect that will throw some more gasoline onto the fire.
You mean the midpoint or when it's making a T-square?
Yes, excuse me, making a T-square.
Okay,
Thank you. Yes.
So that's when it hits 8 Cancer.
Correct.
It will be square Uranus and opposite Pluto. But we can talk about that when we...
We'll get there.
Get there, which is later the week that we're talking about.
Indeed.
Okay, so... We have a lot going on, lots of stress, so pull out your Chardonnays right now, even if it's a Sunday morning.
Great.
On Monday, Saturn, which has been retrograde in Libra for quite a while, is stationing direct. This means that its apparent backwards motion in the sky stops. It appears to stop its motion and is going to start moving forward again at 22 degrees Libra, as we've been talking about throughout the history of the podcast. Anytime a planet stations, whether it's direct or retrograde, we can expect the themes of the planetary archetype to be strengthened, and especially because it's basically just sitting on 1 degree of the zodiac for such a long time, especially if it's a social or an outer planet. If you have Saturn transiting a natal point in your own chart around 22 degrees, you'll definitely feel the weight of this station. So, you know, Michelle, we've been talking a lot about Saturn in Libra, but with this direct motion after such a long retrograde period, what can we expect?
Well, two key things are happening now that Saturn is moving forward. Business ventures have more strength. Those people that have been sitting on you know, a new business partnership and not wanting to go forward with it, or they have been wanting to incorporate something, now you get your green light. Relationships have much greater forward momentum, too. I'm thinking that over the period of these past 5 months when Saturn was retrograde, a lot of people, Jeffrey, likely have purged some of the not-so-beneficial relationships in their lives. Some people have ditched some jobs where they knew they just weren't going to thrive anymore. And that's really perfectly in keeping when Saturn is in retrograde phase, and certainly in the sign of Libra around relationships. So now what happens is we all get to proceed with greater strength and stability into a newer but more authentic situation where we can feel much more grounded than, let's say, this time last year.
So after we've let go of excess baggage in our partnerships, we can move into a deeper commitment with those that have past the tests and trials of Saturn.
Yeah, exactly.
Good times.
Very good times.
So also on Monday, Mercury enters Leo, which is an exuberant, dramatic fire sign after the more kind of shy, emotionally impressionistic sojourn through Cancer. Mercury, the communication planet, really is ready to be out loud and express itself with verve and vigor.
Absolutely. You know, when Mercury is in Leo, it's really interesting because, you know, people's speech becomes so dramatic, and sharing with people your personal stories, let's say an anecdote. On the way to work today, I was stopped by traffic. That's not an interesting story, but Mercury in Leo will take that I got stopped in traffic and expand on it and say, you know, a flock of geese was crossing the highway. Total drama, some of it may not be true, but it's highly entertaining to listen to. You know, Mercury in Leo is the dramatic orator.
So we can expect a lot more creativity and fun expression during this time.
Yeah, and I think we have to sort of bear in mind, you know, when I'm listening to this story, it's really entertaining. Some of it I need to take with a grain of salt because it's just being added in for Leo drama and entertainment value, you know, so don't take everything you hear at face value. I mean, we shouldn't do that anyway, but just enjoy the story when Mercury's in Leo and see what you can add to the conversation in your own dramatic way.
What you're saying reminds me that, you know, Aquarius is across the axis from Leo and you know, there's kind of more of a scientific detachment with Aquarius, and I think that you can enjoy the performance while still trying to kind of wean out, you know, what's the truth and what's the embellishment.
Right.
But there are certainly times when it doesn't hurt you to go along for the ride.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of stories, Jupiter is squaring Neptune on Monday, and you know, these are two of the most overblown planets in the solar system. Jupiter, because it's big and expansive and exaggerates whatever it touches, and Neptune, because it's all about imagination and fantasy and illusion. So with this tense angle between them, things can get blown really out of proportion. It's just like pie in the sky dreams and just almost making things up.
Yeah, a little like Mercury in Leo.
And especially with Jupiter in Gemini, you know, the sign of communication and information, I wouldn't necessarily trust anything that comes out of the media. Just because there's such a big propensity to just delude ourselves or others and to, you know, do what with the facts what we will, just to make a good story. What positive can come out of this 90 degree angle?
Okay, first thing, this, if ever there was a day for everybody to go to the movies and just surrender to fantasy, June 25 is the day. Between Mercury and Leo blowing things into dramatic proportions and Jupiter square Neptune, where we have no idea what's true and what is absolutely fantasy, you might as well just go along, as you said earlier, Jeff, go along for the ride and just enjoy it. Or if you are the type of person that enjoys any type of creative expression, put some time aside for yourself that day and really ride those waves, because you're going to get a lot of creative juice out of it. But it's true, in terms of our ability to critically analyze, you know, this over here is hogwash, that over there is reliable fact, good luck with that. You know, we've got this interesting thing with Jupiter square Neptune. These are also both of the planetary rulers of Pisces. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is that Neptune is in its glory in Pisces, and Jupiter is in its detriment in Gemini. So we've got much more reliable weight in the Neptune and Pisces side, but that's the fantasy side, right? That's the fantasy side of the brain. So it just seems to me we are far more likely to lean into our fantasy sides, intuition, mysticism, creativity, and we're coupling that, of course, with Mercury in creative Leo. So if we're trying to really look for logical information with Jupiter in Gemini not at its strength and making this 90-degree angle to Neptune, that's just going to be challenging. So for people whose jobs rely on critical thinking and being incredibly linear and factual, triple check your work that day, or just give that a rest. You know, Saturn is moving direct, as we talked about, and that helps bring reality, which is Saturn, back into the picture. But, you know, whenever a planet is stationing on that very day, we still end up with a couple of jumbled cosmic signals. It's as though the traffic signals are not quite working. So keep that in mind, people. All is not what it looks like on that day. Enjoy it. Try not to get ticked off about it. And just see if you can get into the fantasy of it.
Yeah, if you're a 9-to-5-er and you start your work week on Monday, you know, walk into the office with awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you're probably going to hear some fantastically untrue stories about your colleagues' weekends.
Right. Yes.
Completely over the top. And you'll be thinking, this sounds really crazy to me, and you're probably right. You know, too crazy to believe, but fun nevertheless.
Yeah. I also think with Saturn stationing, the sense of obligation and authority is going to be accentuated at the beginning of the week. So perhaps boss issues might come to the forefront.
That sounds pretty logical, yeah.
So on Tuesday, we have a first quarter square moon. As you will recall, we had a new moon at 28 degrees Gemini. This is the second new moon of the year after the eclipse. But now that the sun has moved into Cancer, we have the moon at 5 Libra squaring the sun in Cancer. And even though, you know, we have not reached an exact, you know, 8-degree T-square with the Uranus-Pluto square. Right now, we have a cardinal grand cross.
Yeah.
Which basically means a grand cross is when you have four planets all making either oppositions or squares with each other. It's literally a cross. They're all sitting in the cardinal signs of Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Pluto. And the first quarter square moon is just 3 degrees away from the Uranus-Pluto square. If this is really hard to visualize, you could go to sastrology.com/chart on Tuesday around 10:30 p.m. Eastern, and you'll see that configuration in the chart. So this is definitely, I would think, a big trigger for this outer planet connection, right?
Oh, yeah. This is pretty important between the two lights, the sun and the moon, really, really activating this energy between the coming, well, by now, the past square of Uranus and Pluto, with this building opposition of sun and Pluto. This is, shall we say, highly dynamic energy. I doubt very much people will be feeling calm, relaxed, and, hey, man, I'm just going to sort of let it all flow. I don't think Tuesday, June the 26th, will be that kind of a day. It's going to be highly active, energized. You may feel buzzed, like on some kind of caffeine high, with whether you take, you know, coffee or not. Woo, Jeffrey, it's really energetic.
Yeah. I don't know what more to add, but, you know, it's just taking the tension of that outer planet connection and amplifying it. Because, you know, the moon and the sun are the two planets that touch us human beings, you know, most directly. Mm-hmm. The sun, because it's, you know, literally the center of the solar system and the center of our consciousness. And the moon, because it's all about our emotional lives and our lunar natures, our reactivity to that which is around us. So we're highly tuned in and connected to this outer planet energy, which, as we've been discussing, is very tumultuous and chaotic. So we can definitely expect a lot of change stuff from the underground coming forth into consciousness, you know, personal desires to break things open and, you know, rend things apart. So if we don't see this in our own lives, we'll definitely feel it both on the world stage and probably with people we know, especially if they have planets around 6 degrees of cardinal.
Yeah, this is, I mean, as you say, not only are we going to, thanks to sun and moon, not only are we going to be really tapped in to some of the greater forces at work in, you know, in the collective, but we're going to take that stuff pretty personally, as though somehow it is about us. It's for our listeners, if you could try to visualize, you know, the sun, moon, Uranus, and Pluto, each being at the corner of a box, you know, in the center, in the solar system. They're each taking a 90-degree angle and forming basically an equal box, a square. There, you could say, if we take the Pollyanna view, you could say that each corner of that box represents a potential release point, a place where you can let off some of your steam. The question is, how carefully and safely are you going to let off your steam? If you go to the Pluto corner of the box, you don't want to go all explosive on the situation. Same with Uranus, sort of shocking people with crazy meltdowns, not going to work, not really in the long term in your best interest. If you go to the Sun corner or the Moon corner of the box, you have a chance of becoming a little more gentle in your response. But it's going to be important, however you decide to sort of release this energy, that you try to connect with yourself, with your heart. If you can try to come from a loving place and look at things as not being all about you or because of you, you might have a more easy time with the strangeness of that day.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So before we continue, I wanted to take a short commercial break. This podcast is brought to you by mytransits.com, which will lead you to Sistrology's transit report page. If you'd like to know how all these transits affect your own personal natal chart, go to mytransits.com, enter your birth information, and you can purchase a personalized, computerized report that will outline how the planets are affecting your chart. To get 10% off the cost of the report, enter SASSY718 as the discount or coupon code at checkout. So on Wednesday, after 4 months of moving apparently backwards, Venus is finally stationing direct at 7 Gemini. I'm sure a lot of people will be screaming hallelujahs at this point, especially if old lovers have come up out of the woodwork to destabilize their current partnerships, or if they've been doing a lot of rethinking about their own love lives or their finances or values, all those Venusian things. So we can really take the lessons that we've learned over the past 4 months and start to feel safe moving forward. What angle would you put on this, Michelle?
Absolutely in agreement with you. This is the green light, everybody, the cosmic green light. If you've been holding off on that new relationship, here you go. Venus is ready to say yes, lovers. Go for it. The other thing is that Venus is also connected with our personal finances. So while, you know, some of you are self-employed, you probably noticed some of your clients have been a little late on paying you. That's likely to be cleared up now. Some people may find they receive a little bit of a raise, although realistically looking at the bigger picture, Jeff, with all the craziness of the week, I'm not sure this is the week we would want to go to our bosses and say, hey, how about that raise? Probably not good right now. Let's let Uranus and Pluto settle down a little bit. But this is it. Relationship issues move more smoothly now. For people that have already been in a relationship for a while, you hopefully used Venus's retrograde period to really evaluate how things are going for you. And now that Venus is direct, you can implement some of those adjustments that you needed to make.
Yay. So yeah, now that Venus and Saturn are moving direct, it definitely feels like a lot of this reserve energy is now available to move forward, whether it's with work or love. So I can feel a deep collective sigh.
Mm-hmm.
So the week closes on Friday with this exact square to Uranus in opposition to Pluto from Sun in Cancer. We obviously don't need to rehash what we just talked about, But needless to say, it's going to be another very strong, energetic point, making the exact T-square. And fortunately, there's a little bit of a soft energy on Friday as well. Mercury in Leo is making a 60-degree angle or sextile to Jupiter. Jupiter is, as we were discussing, in its detriment because it rules Sagittarius, but Jupiter right now is in the sign that Mercury rules. So Jupiter is very supportive of Mercury's loudness in Leo.
Yeah.
So I think that there's certainly a sense of expansion and exaggeration, but I think in a way that feels like we can bring a little bit of wisdom into our communication.
I think that potential is absolutely there, and I think what you're talking about, Jeff, is the higher potential of how that Mercury sextile Jupiter can manifest. Maybe the lower vibration is a strong sense of entitlement that comes with that. So if we're looking at, putting that in integrating it with the Sun making a square to Uranus and an opposition to Pluto, I can hear a lot of people saying on that day, you're either with me or against me, right? And I'm just thinking that Mercury and Jupiter can sort of ramp that energy up a little bit. If we're talking about getting on your foghorn and blowing things out of proportion, I think the potential is there. I would just issue a caution to our listeners that it's not going to work terribly well if you feel you need to deliver an ultimatum. Certainly not on that day. It's a little too, the week is a little too explosive for ultimatums. And I think especially with Pluto being retrograde, so it's very internalized, ultimatums will come back and bite people in the butt. So just try to ride it. And yeah, if you can tap into the exuberance of Mercury in Leo, sextile, go big or go home, Jupiter in Gemini, then great. Just try to have a little fun because this is insane this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about how we discussed earlier that Jupiter and Gemini can help to find some of the meaning in the mass of information that we're deluded by. And maybe that can, granted it's still only at the very beginning of the sign, but I think we may be starting to, have a bit of a bird's eye perspective of information, which can maybe help us when we, step behind the foghorn or the megaphone,
yeah,
to say something,
right,
that actually has a little bit of heft behind it.
I like that.
Yes. So, Michelle, if our listeners would like to learn more about your astrology services, how can they find you?
I am going to be at starstruckastrology.org. And very happy to connect with our listeners. I will offer this caveat, Jeffrey. I'm going to take the month of July off, just to do what I would tell anybody to do: lighten up a little bit and enjoy what is usually a very short season in North America, and see if I can't just connect with some trees and lakes for a little while.
Yes, and during your absence, I'm going to be talking to the virtual Michelle for our podcasts, and hopefully I've written the computer program well enough to fool everyone.
I will certainly be here for podcasts.
Okay.
I will not be blogging, and I will not be consulting with clients, so that I can come back refreshed after a little vacay.
Good for you.
Thanks.
So if you are a fan of Sestrology and Astrology Rocks, please find us in the iTunes Music Store and leave a rating and or review. If you want to leave a comment, you can find the podcast on the blog, or send us a tweet at Sestrology. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Take care.